Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
Great, thank you. Okay, so welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020. I'm thrilled to be presenting Alan Lowen. And we have a short description here. So Alan was a close disciple of Osho Rajneesh, I'm hoping I'm pronounced that correctly, for 8 years learning to navigate the light and dark of surrender to the master. So subsequently in the late 80s, he founded The Art of Being, and the website will be posted in the chat for that. But this is an experiential way for people to awaken, befriend and celebrate all the gifts and attributes of their being. And for 45 years, he's led workshops and courses addressing the essential personal themes of people's lives, such as intimate relationships, sexuality, reconciling with our own death, soul awakening and being. So today's talk is How Intimate Can I Be? A Guided Exploration. And so without further ado, I'm going to hand over to Alan and I'm excited to take part.
Hello, people from all over the world. I can love you as much as love is available in me. And of course, you know, being intimate, we regard it as being in love with somebody, with something, and therefore being able to be very close, very connected with them. And being intimate isn't just about love, of course. When I'm intimate with you, I feel you, I sense you, I have an intuitive sense of you. And all this gives me empathy with you. Not only do I have all these senses and feelings and intuitives about you, but I'm also friendly with them. And this is what enables us to experience intimacy. So what it comes down to is I can only be intimate with you to the degree that I am open in those capacities that enable me to be intimate. And you have to allow me to be intimate with my nervousness right now, okay? I don't like talking into a green light. And so, you know, for me to find my way with you, find my way into being connected with you is challenging for me. And so I want to begin by telling you a story. When I was 3 years old, I was living with my mother and my brother in a cottage out in the country, somewhere outside London. And we were there because it was just after the war had ended and we had been evacuated there because the bombs were falling on London, where I was born. And this is my first real memory. I'm standing in a garden in a strawberry patch. And I see my mother and my brother, who's 14 months older than me. I'm somewhere between 2 and 3 years old And I pluck a strawberry. And as I eat it, I have this sense of the sublime, the taste, the rapture gives me an intimacy with not just the strawberry, but with everything. I'm 77 years old, and I still have this vivid remembering of this entire experience. And the quality of it is one of a kind of inner radiant smile with the whole of existence. And I'm going to come back to this, the smile, later on in this presentation. What I want to do, though, is to first of all give you the key that I talked about when I wrote about this. It is, for me, the key that enables us to experience being intimate. So what I ask you to do is to close your eyes and turn your attention inwards. And closing your eyes is simply so that you can let go of the distractions. And with your eyes closed, connect with your breathing. You know, the first thing that you did when you came out of your mother's body was breathe in. The last thing you will ever do in this life is breathe out. And that gives you a sense of the significance of breathing. And this is what I invite you to do. As you breathe in now, allow yourself the sense that your breathing in is a way of touching to life everything that is happening in you. You know, it is essentially what we're doing when we breathe in. It's how we bring ourselves alive. So as you breathe in, it's as though the air is like fingers that are touching the energies in you, the feelings that are going on in you, the thoughts going on in your mind, all your senses, all your energies, all your feelings, everything that you are, you're touching as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, allow yourself that breath out that could be like the final breath of your life. It's a breath out in which you simply allow yourself to relax. You know, there are people who never really breathe out their whole lives because they're so busy controlling everything, staying on guard. If you stay on guard, you're not allowed to really just breathe out as a relaxation. You're breathing out as a way of keeping control, keeping yourself on guard in case. So see what it's like as you breathe out to allow your body to simply relax. And it's not that you're doing anything, you're not doing any noisy special breathing. You're really just tuning in, touching yourself alive as you breathe in. And as you breathe out, allowing your body to just surrender with the breathing out, so that your breathing out is a letting go. It's a letting go that allows whatever you breathe into to be the way it is. So that what you're doing, actually, you're just letting your inner weather be the way it is, bringing yourself fully alive as you breathe in and allowing that sense of touching to move all the way through your body. You know, if you just right now, touch your hand as you're breathing in. And as you breathe out, relax and let your body surrender. And allow yourself the sense, in a few cycles of breathing in and out, of being able to touch yourself all the way through, from the air you're breathing in, all the way out to your skin. Breathing in brings you fully alive, when you're breathing in is a way of touching all that's going on in you. Breathing out is where you make friends with what you've breathed into. And this is the key to being intimate. If I can really allow myself to befriend whatever I'm touching, whatever is going on in me, I have an intimate connection with all that is happening in me. The essence of intimacy, you know, we relate it, as I said at the beginning, with being in love with someone, being intimately connected with someone. But the essence happens in you alone. The only way you can be intimate with somebody else is if you are open and connected to those capacities in you that allow you to touch and be in touch and touched by somebody else or something else. So my experience with the strawberry, you know, I had an intimate connection with a strawberry and with the whole of existence going on around a strawberry, because I was so touched by the taste and the redness and the magic of that moment. And being a three-year-old kid, you know, I had no reservations, no cautions. I could allow myself to be touched all the way through. And of course, the strawberry, what a friendly experience. So this is the key. And what I want to do now is to enable you to use this key to address the spaces and the places and the ways that you don't allow yourself to be fully intimate. You don't allow yourself to be open in all that you are in being with someone. As I said, you know, when you're really intimate with someone, you have an incredible empathy. You're able to sense and feel the one you're with to the degree that you're sensing and feeling yourself. But look at the ways that you don't allow intimacy, or the times, the situations that you don't allow yourself to be intimate, and what you're like in those situations. I can tell you how I am when I'm not allowing myself to be intimate. I'm a grumpy old man. Okay, I'm allowed. I'm 77 years old. I'm allowed sometimes to be a grumpy old man. And being allowed, that's very important. I'll try and remember to come back to that. So when I'm a grumpy old man, what I'm doing is shutting doors. You know, I'm shutting off my sense of humor. I'm shutting off my playfulness. I'm shutting off my warmth, my heartfulness. I'm going and move. I don't want to be here. It's really easy to be like that. And when I go into, I mean, it's really easy to be, I don't mean I do it often, but I have a long track record. And so we all have, and they're like slippery paths into the states that we go into when we refuse to be intimate with ourselves. So I was thinking about it this morning, that when I go into grumpy old man syndrome, I can be mean. And by mean, you know, I mean withholding. I don't want to give. I don't want to give you anything. I'm not going to give. Which is the antithesis of being intimate. Okay. It's antimate, not intimate. So what do I do when I'm, you know, finding myself in one of these states? What I'm asking you to do right now, as I'm saying this to you, is to look at the states that you go into that prevent you from being intimate. And, you know, there are so many of them. Or what are the feelings that come up in you that you're not okay within yourself? And so you can't allow them. For example, maybe you're not okay with being sad and vulnerable and tearful. And so when those feelings are stirred in you by something happening, you get a lump in your throat, you tense up, your jaw tightens. Maybe you get aggressive, you know, because that's a way of being able to guard against the vulnerability. Maybe you get angry. And maybe when you get angry, you get reactive. So, you know, for that's a very normal way of dealing with anger in our world. Instead of just being explosively angry, people become aggressive. And the difference between anger and aggression, it's really interesting, is that aggression has a target. So aggression blames, complains against, becomes hostile towards, attacks, whereas anger is just like a volcanic explosion. In my anger, I just erupt. And then it's over. So what I'm going to do now is guide you on a journey into this inner space, your home, the home of your being. And you were just breathing in it, okay? Because your body is the home of your being. And so, again, I don't know if you've opened your eyes by now, but whether it helps you, it's okay with me now if you open them or you close them, but you probably where we're going now, will find it helpful to close your eyes and to allow yourself to come into this sense of touching yourself alive in all that's going on in you as you breathe in and relaxing, surrendering, allowing it all to be so as you breathe out. And where you are is in the home of your being. And imagine that the space that you're in when you're feeling good, and hopefully right now you're feeling mostly good. It's okay if you're not, we'll come to it in a moment. To the degree that you are feeling good, your home is simply spaciousness and you're in it. Now, around this spaciousness, there are doors leading into little rooms, caverns maybe. And these are the states that you go into when you are not spaciously open and available. And what I want you to do is to wander around your inner space and just come to the doors that are closed right now. And behind them are the states that you go into when you are not open. So for myself, for example, grumpy old man, mean. Yours could be hard, controlling, guarded. You could have a room that is full of vulnerability, tears, sadness. Or there's the room, and this is the one that we all have. And the label on the door is afraid. Being afraid is, it's integral to our nature. To you know, every living creature has the quality of fear woven into their being. There's nothing wrong with fear. It looks after us. It shows us when to be careful, what to avoid. And it makes an incredible difference to us whether we are friendly or not with being afraid, as it makes a difference whether we are friendly with any of the rooms behind these doors. So what I invite you to do now is to choose a state that for you is one that really prevents you from being fully open to being intimate with anybody. It could even be that you don't feel so easy in your sexuality. And so there's a door, and within this, behind this door, are all these feelings that you have around your sexuality that cause you to feel anxious, insecure when sexual intimacy is there for you, and you feel unable to really openly enjoy it. So, wandering around your space, just find your way to the door behind which is the state that for you is perhaps the one that is most challenging for you, or it's just the one that right now is most immediate for you. Oh yeah, this is how I am that prevents me from really being intimate. And as you stand facing this door, breathe with the anticipation of going into this space. Imagine what is behind the door. And you don't have to be able to label it even. Simply your imagination can conjure up what is there, just as senses that may have visual form, and there may just be intangible energies that you know that you don't like going into. What I want you to do is to reach out, put your hand on the door handle, and as you push the door open or pull the door open, whichever way it goes, keep breathing. And what you're doing is finding the courage and the trust to enter into this state, this space that you don't like being in. Opening the door now, step by gentle step, walk into this space, into this state. And the first thing you do is feel how it touches your skin, how the air of this space touches you. And breathing in, you're breathing in the air of this space, the air of this state. So if it's the state of your tears and your sadness, you're allowing these qualities of tearfulness and sadness to touch you. And perhaps what comes with them are memories or a specific memory. Or if you've gone into the room in which you feel hard, controlling, what is the air like in there? Is it hard? Is it icy? Is it cold? Whatever the space is, if you're going into the space of your libido where you don't feel easy when you're aroused, when you're turned on, what happens as you allow yourself in there? And, you know, since you're in your own space, you're at home, feel free to move in your body, to touch your body, to allow yourself as you stand or move or dance or lie down or sit in this space that you've gone into. Give yourself as much freedom as you can to breathe it all in. And as you breathe out, dare to surrender to it. And the reason to do so is because it belongs to you. It is yours. And as long as you keep those doors closed, what it means is you can only ever be partial. You can never be the whole of your being. So what you're doing is, as you stand in this space and you allow yourself to be touched by its energies and its qualities, and you breathing out, surrender to them, you're making friends with these energies, these qualities, these feelings. And as you do so, recognize that actually you're totally okay. Even if right now I've guided you into a space in which you're there in your tears, notice that you're okay. You're safe. You're dancing in your own energy, in your own feelings. And what you're doing is making friends with some aspect of yourself that you haven't been easy with, you're not easy with. And just give yourself the time to move around in this space. And if you wish to, you can enter into a different space, open another door, and do the same thing there. Breathe in the air of this space, the qualities, the energies, the feelings that you're touching. They are within you. They belong to you. And as you breathe out, again, the surrendering, the letting yourself be with these feelings, these energies, these states. And with whatever space you're playing in, befriending, because that's what you're doing. You're befriending a state that belongs to you. As you come out from that room, allow the room to, in a sense, dissolve into the spaciousness of your being, so that, for example, if what you've gone into is a space of tearfulness, sadness, as you become more and more friendly with it, you allow the room to, in a sense, dissolve into interweaving with the spaciousness of your whole being. so that what is happening is that in the way you are, excuse me, so that in the way you are, in your whole being, the quality of vulnerability, of sadness, is simply there in the air. It doesn't have to be forefront in the spotlight on stage. If something sad happens, it may bring tears to your eyes. You may cry. But in essence, you're simply a little more whole in that your vulnerability is allowed into the spaciousness of your being. And whatever space you go into that you're not okay with, you're in the same dance with. You're entering into it, you're breathing into it, you're allowing yourself to come totally alive in all that it touches in you. You're surrendering to it as you breathe out. And you're doing this as often as you need to, as much as you need to, right now, as continuously as you need to, until you feel simply friendly with this state of being. And in that friendliness, the room is dissolving into the spaciousness of your whole being. So, if I come back to my grumpy old man, what happens for me when I go into that space, when I realize, oh God, you know, I've been in a really grumpy state for the last hour or so. When I go into that room and I breathe into what's going on in him, and I allow it all to touch me and to come alive in me, and I surrender to it as I breathe out, what it turns into is a little kid who's unhappy. And he's unhappy as I, you know, I had a lot of unhappy times in my childhood. You know, when I was 4 years old, I was put in a Catholic orphanage, and I spent 5 years there. And it was run by nuns, and they were not so loving. So, you know, I grew up with a lot of wounds, so I know unhappiness. So, you know, the grumpy old man, when I go into that space and I breathe with him and I feel him, as I touch the grumpiness, it turns into unhappiness, and that unhappiness turns into a kind of distress, a sadness, a sorrowing, a vulnerability, a tearfulness. And I find myself regressed into, you know, me at 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. And what I do then is what I've been doing all along, breathing into this unhappy kid and befriending him as I breathe out. And as I do that, what happens is he has to smile. And why he has to smile? Because he likes being in touch with the softness that he's in. He likes the freedom that he feels to allow himself to be all the colors that are happening in him. And what he comes to is that smile that he experienced when he was 3 years old in the strawberry patch, tasting the strawberry. Now, what I invite you to do is see if you, just breathing in your own space, in your own spaciousness, can find your own smile. Just breathe, play in your spaciousness, and allow yourself to touch with friendliness whatever is happening in you, so much so that even if you can't be the smile, you actually have a sense of it. What happened for me when I tasted that strawberry was a sense of being in love, not just with the strawberry, but with the whole of existence. The next time I had an experience like that that I remember, I was 11 or 12 years old, and I was in a church choir. I wasn't in the orphanage anymore. And I joined this church choir because a kid on the school playground told me they had a lot of fun after choir practice playing in the streets. But I had a good voice. And so I loved singing in the choir. And so there was this particular Sunday evening. And I'm there singing with all the other choir boys. And through the west windows of the church, the setting sun is shining. And suddenly, I am carried into this space that is just, again, sublime. The singing, the sunset, the colors. I'm intimate with the whole of existence. The smile. For me, the smile touches eternity. Because what happens when I'm in the smile is that I am totally present. And the thing about being totally present is that there is no time in the present. To be here now is to step out of time. And I'm inviting you to perhaps have a glimpse of it, to touch into it, to be in it, to be flowing in it now, as you're in your own exploration, in your own inner spaciousness, to see if you can allow yourself in all that you are to become, to be so present to all that you are, to everything happening in you, that you are out of time. And being out of time, you are one with the infinite, with eternity. To be here now is to be in touch with the eternal. I call it the mystery. I prefer the mystery because spirit for me became so loaded with all kinds of beliefs that I prefer to have a sense of the eternal as the mystery. However you experience it, as the mystery, as spirit, as God, as goddess, as the source, however, see if you can allow your sense of the smile that is there in your connection with the mystery, with the eternal, in being present. And the reason that there's a smile is because when we're in love, we smile. It's part of being in love. And if you are totally present what it means is that among all the other aspects of your being that are open and awake and here now, your heart, of course, is also. And when your heart is open and awake, you're in love. In other words, to be here now is to be in love. What it comes to is that when you are being intimate, when you're really allowing yourself to be open and in touch with all that is happening in you, you are in love. And when you are in love, then whatever you relate with, you can be intimate with. And I say whatever, including whoever. And I say whoever, including whatever, because what you're doing is being in love with whatever is present, whatever is here now. I just had to look at the time to see how much time I have. I have to be intimate with time in the timeless present. So, your key is breathing into whatever is happening in you, touching it alive, allowing your breath to touch you alive. As you breathe out, allowing your surrender to what you breathed into. And it's such a simple cycle that you can use every day of your life, every moment of your life. And it's really valuable to remember it when you realize that you've gone into one of those closed spaces, closed off spaces. The moment you realize, and sometimes, you know, you're in it for an hour, even a day, you know, you can have a really miserable day where you're not intimate with anything. But the moment you realize, just close your eyes and choose to breathe yourself into touch with whatever darkness is happening in you. And as you breathe out, to surrender to it and allow the dark to become colorful and allow the colorfulness to bring the light in. And as you give yourself into this for as long as you need. And sometimes, sometimes a few minutes is enough. Sometimes for me, a few seconds is enough. Sometimes I need an hour. And, you know, there could be a situation if you're in a really heavy state that it takes a few hours of daring to just keep breathing into befriending what you're experiencing. Because once you're in friendliness with it, then you can find your way into the spaciousness of your more or less whole being. And in that, you are available to being intimate. So, can I allow you now some question time, questions and answers? I'm not sure how it happens. I think I'll be guided. Okay.
Absolutely, Alan, thank you for that. That was wonderful. I wanted to surrender to the experience, but at the same time, keep an eye on the comments as well. So, but yeah, I found that actually personally really quite touching and shed a little tear myself there. But guys, please feel free to, your comments coming in, just kind of how beautiful it is and, yeah, incredible. If anybody has any questions on their own personal experience of the the exercise, then please do drop a note or perhaps pop a question in the Q&A. So yeah, if you raise your little blue hand, I will promote you to the panel, and you will actually have the opportunity to speak if you wish in these few minutes before the end of the session.
Hi, Medea. Is it Medea?
Yeah, Medea. Yeah. So
yes, can I have an opportunity to ask, please? it was really, really touchy for me, the whole experience, so I couldn't go really deeply in because I'm also holding a space for this session. But I do have a burning question around aggression, actually, because one part of the intimacy is also life force itself. And I was working a lot with healthy aggression, and I found out that because I didn't want to feel aggression and I just wanted to feel soft and loving and, you know, like really gentle. So this sensitive part of me was satisfied. I was compressing the fire in me and the life force in me. And when I tapped into healthy aggression work, it changed my life. So I wanted to hear your perspective on this strong life force, because I heard you say something about aggression and I would like to hear more.
Yeah. So as I said, my perspective is that the difference between anger and aggression is that aggression has a target. Aggression is against someone. Anger is like volcanic explosion. Anger is the volcano erupting. So healthy aggression, I would say, is volcanic anger erupting. And if you've grown up being very hurt by people, betrayed, abused, then it may be that in order to free yourself, you need to begin by addressing the people who've hurt you. I don't mean you have to go actually to them, but you know, you do that classical therapy thing of putting them on a pillow and beating the shit out of them. And what is important is to not stop there, to not hold yourself in targeted aggression, but to gradually free yourself from the target, from the need for a target, and to just allow yourself the explosion of the rage that is there, so that the aggression becomes innocent anger, freed of any target. So you're not hostile against somebody or something. And this is really important, you know, when we're in intimate relationships, because what it's about is that particular element of relationship. I call it relationship. Okay. When you, excuse me. Yeah, when you get into trouble with your beloved, your partner, and it's easy to for them to become the target. You know, the person, if you're in an intimate relationship, your best target is your beloved, because you know how to push their buttons just as they know how to push yours, which is what gets you into the relationship. And then it's really important to take yourself into breathing into what you're experiencing, and to find your way into the space that it's coming from, and to keep befriending until you can come out and say, hey, sorry, and find the smile again. So that's what I'd say about aggression.
And actually, there is a question here in the Q&A. Apologies if I pronounce your name incorrectly, Nilufa. But they've mentioned, if the suffering is related to a person in your past and he is not available to talk to for any closure. And I kind of feel like you answered that a little bit with your response to Medea. But they're asking, how could you resolve or put an end to that suffering on your own when you can't get that closure from the person who's caused you pain?
Yeah. What it comes down to is recognizing that as long as you are requiring closure from the other one, you're keeping yourself dependent on them. And this usually has to do with loneliness, that, you know, if I don't get closure from you, I'm left in this state of longing for you, of missing you. I just feel so lonely. And what transforms it is to take yourself into the sense of loneliness, of abandonment, of them not being available for you, and breathe with all those colors and energies and feelings that are being touched in you, and keep surrendering to them. I tell you, this can be like burning. This is like fire. What happens? This is one of those situations that can go on for months, you know, where people are, their partner walks out on them, and you're left, you know, feeling abandoned, brokenhearted. And it can take a long time to heal. The healing happens as you give yourself this constant engagement. I don't mean 24 hours a day, but you choose every day as much as you need to take yourself into the feelings that are going on in you. And you let go of the person who has provoked these feelings, and you just keep being with the feelings until you are eventually friendly with all of them. When that happens, you have transitioned from loneliness into aloneness. And when you're alone, it's such a beautiful word, alone. It means all one. You're in your spaciousness. And in that spaciousness, in the end, you come to the smile. And you realize you're free. It's a beautiful moment when it happens. It happens because you choose to let go of depending on the other for your happiness, for your freedom.
And I think some of what you just said there, Alan, may well relate to another comment here in the chat. Someone's asked to if you could talk a little bit more about giving yourself permission. And is that related to what you just said about the making the choice to how you interpret?
One of the phrases that I use over and over and over again in my workshops is, are you allowed? Mm. Am I allowed? It's like, you know, in this guided journey I took you into, let's say you're not okay with your sexual body, then how it manifests for a lot of people is, well, I'm not allowed to experience my totally outrageous sexual turn on. I'm not allowed to be ecstatically orgasmic. Your way to heal that is the same. It's to take yourself into that sense of I'm not allowed, and to breathe with it, and to make friends with it, and to allow it to become what it is behind that label. Because what happens when you really go into it is you're no longer in I'm not allowed. You're in all the feelings and energies that have written that label. So you're no longer I'm not allowed. You're just this constellation of feelings and energies and states that are very exciting for you. And you know, the thing is that when you go into this allowing, it is exciting, because what you're dealing with is your fear. Because it's your fear that says I'm not allowed. And when you make friends with fear, you know, fear when you're not friendly with it is dead. If I come alive in my fear, I'm excited, I'm trembling. And this is where transformation happens, because as you allow yourself to come alive in being afraid, again, the label dissolves and you are in excitement. And in your excitement, you find you're free to play with what you were not allowed, what you were afraid of.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Alan. If there are any more comments or questions, or if you would like to continue the conversation, there is a link in the chat to the coffee breaks. Also, thank you, Alan, for the session. I'm just going to go into a brief explanation now. The talk will be available for replay for another 48 hours. But of course, if you would like to upgrade to purchase the library, it means that you can rewatch or watch again in your own time, digest the information, and you know, sort of take it in a more relaxed manner. The link is in the chat there for you to upgrade if you should choose to do so. You also get learning lists with that as well, which means that you have a little bit more of a structured way of getting through all the information. And it's also a bit of a thank you to the conference organizers for putting on this event and enabling it to be free for this period. There will be a link to Alan's website as well if you would like to find out more about his work. We are going to pop a little link there to his website, and I'm sure he would be thrilled for people to get in touch about any of the courses that he's going to be running. And yeah, I think that's all the information I needed to share right now. Hopefully I haven't missed anything. So once again, Alan, thank you for your session, and I'm very grateful to have been able to take part in it. And yeah, so we shall be with the next talk at 10 o'clock on the channel. So yes.
I just have one thing I want to ask Alan. Alan, we're asking all of our presenters, what is their top tip for staying embodied?
Breathe into all that is happening in your body and make friends with it as you breathe out.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much. We're going to end the session now, guys. Alan, if you need to reach out afterwards, just send me a message. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for being here. And I really, this has been a very intimate happening for me. Bon voyage.